in appreciation,
the temple priest offered Shiva's prasad scents, that oil, sandalwood pulp, and a fragrant flower garland to Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The Lord retired to the home of a neighboring devotee, took some rice prasad from the devotee, and rested peacefully. Next day, the Lord bathed in Bindu Sarovara and paid obeisances to Mahadev and continued to Neelachal. Now, listen carefully to a story in this connection. Once Damodar Pandit asked Murari Gupta, why did Chaitanya accept Nirmalya prasad of Lord Shiva? Nirmalya means Nirmalya. Nirmal obviously means no dirt or something pure. So whatever is offered to the Lord is called Nirmalya. And it can be sweets, it can be garlands, it can be some scented oil or chandan. It's all in the category of Nirmalya. According to a curse of Bhrigu Muni, Shiva's prasad is not acceptable. Yet why did Gauranga accept it? Mahaprabhu is himself the lord of the brahmanas, because he was also born in a Brahmin family. So why did he violate the Vedic injunctions? So apparently, I was giving kind of a rustic interpretation of why we don't take Shiva prasad. But as I mentioned, it is an injunction in Vedas that Vaishnavas shouldn't take Shiva prasad, and apparently there's some story, which I'm not familiar with, about according to a curse of Bhrigu Muni, Shiva's prasad is not acceptable. Murari Gupta said, listen, Damodar, how can I know the mind of the Lord? I'll answer you according to my understanding. If you find it acceptable, then take it into your heart. If someone differentiates between Hari, Krishna, and Hara, Shiva, like we say Hari, Hara, that when he worships Lord Shiva and therefore refuses to accept Shiva's prasad, he commits an offense and suffers the curse of Bhrigu Muni. Why? Because his consciousness is contaminated. He doesn't understand the glories of Lord Shiva. But he who accepts both Hari and Hara as one and faithfully accepts Shiva's prasad becomes beloved to both Krishna and Shiva. One certainly pleases Lord Shiva with his food offerings. If he remembers that Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, one becomes free from material bondage by taking such remnants. Actually, when Lord Shiva saw Lord Chaitanya taking his darshan, he joyfully accepted Gauranga as his guest. The curse of Bhrigu Muni is meant for materialists devoid of Krishna consciousness. If someone worships Shiva in a friendly mood, he can certainly develop his love for Krishna. Hari Bol. So we shouldn't be antagonistic towards Shiva. Oh, Shiva, he's a demigod. No. And sometimes they say, oh, Shiva's so dirty, he has ashes on his body, and he wears a necklace of skulls. You see sometimes there's a mala of dried up old heads, skulls. But whose skulls are they? It's explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other places that the skulls he wears around his neck are the skulls of great Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, he honors the Vaishnavas, so he wears a necklace of skulls from old Vaishnavas. So if someone worships Shiva in a friendly mood, that person will develop his love for Sri Krishna. Of course, that was confirmed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In that verse, we said that Bhagavat Bhakti Vardhanam. This Vardhanam means to increase, Govardhan means to increase the cows, increase the gopis, increase the senses, increase the gopas, everything increases by associating with Yuraj. Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to teach the proper path of perfection for people in general. Damodar Pandit replied, Murari, you have kindly removed all my misgivings and made everyone else happy too. Thus Lochan Das describes the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is because it appeared that Lord Chaitanya was breaking the rules, that he had taken this Nirmali of Lord Shiva, prasad and sandalwood and scented oil. Because ordinarily a Vaishnava would say, no, he would refuse. No, I don't. It's your Shiva. He wouldn't take it. So he took it. So just to clear any doubt in anyone's mind who might read about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then this anecdote or this conversation came about between Damodar Pandit, who was also traveling. And at another time he asked about this. So then Murray explained it like this. Actually, there's another explanation I saw in about a similar thing in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he explains that Lord Chaitanya, he accepted the prasad. It was actually some other prasad, or maybe the same incident. He accepted the prasad because he knew the mentality of the pujari, which is basically indicated here. Maybe he didn't pick up on it. But he knew that the pujari was worshipping Lord Shiva in the mood that he was the greatest Vaishnava, not that he was the supreme. So because this pujari had the proper mood and proper siddhanta, he had the proper tattva, he understood the Shiva's position, that he was subservient in one sense, that he was a devotee of the Lord, of Sankarshan, and so he was offering him the food in that mood. So then, therefore, because of that, Lord Chaitanya accepted. So that's one interesting story. Any questions
about that story?
No? Now we're going to...
Maharaj, in that regard, we can of course accept Shiva's prasad.
Well, we don't know because we're not omniscient like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya knew the heart of that pujari. He knew that pujari was... Most 99% of people who worship Shiva deities, they think that Lord Shiva is supreme. That he's God and not Vishnu or Krishna or anyone else. So therefore, we would offer respects to that prasad, but we wouldn't accept it. Okay. We'd say thank you. Or someone gives it to us, we may take it and then touch it to our head and then give it to someone else or whatever. But we wouldn't eat it or take it. Because we can't imitate the Lord. But he is explained that of course, what he's saying there is if someone, if you see, for example, in Vrindavan, people offer datura phal, which we have to offer, I forgot. They offer datura phal, and which is a poisonous fruit, and they offer these type of things to Lord Shiva, because that's told in Shiva Puran that these things should be offered. But in Vrindavan, where the Shiva lingas are, people offer para. Because they say, oh, he's a devotee, and he's a Krishna bhakta, and devotees like para, and burfi, and milk cake. So they offer with that mood. So, because that's what Lord Chaitanya was saying, or that's what Damodar Murarigupta was telling Damodar Pandit. If you think of him, if you understand Shiva like that, then you can take prasad. Lord Shiva. That was the point of the story. Now I don't know if we can. Let's just review it again, just to clarify it. If someone differentiates between Hari Har and when he worships Shiva, therefore refuses to accept prasad, he commits an offense and suffers the curse of Bhriga Muni. Because consciously he doesn't understand what he's saying. Yeah, he says, he who accepts both Hari and Hara as one, which is what our discussion is tonight, and faithfully accepts Shiva's prasad, becomes beloved to both Krishna and Shiva. So I think that's it. I mean, I guess the curse of Bhriga Muni applies to the Shaivites, who think that Shiva is supreme and don't see that he's one with Krishna. That Krishna is like subordinate to Shiva. So your answer is... So the answer is... What I can draw from this is, yes, we can take, irregardless of what the pujari may see, because he's saying that we who are receiving the prasad, well, it's interesting, you're presenting a different thing. When someone worships Shiva, but he differentiates and refuses to accept, there's some difference between when he worships. In other words, someone may do Shiva puja, but he thinks, oh, Shiva, he's just a demigod. And then that pujari offers you some prasad, and then you refuse it because, you're a Vishnu bhakta. Then you commit an offense because you're contaminated. You're not seeing the glories, understanding the real glories of Lord Shiva. But if you're worshipping Shiva, you go to a Shiva temple and you worship him, and you accept that Hari and Hara is one, then that pujari gives you prasad, then you become beloved to Krishna and Shiva. So I think it's One certainly pleases Lord Shiva with his food offerings if he remembers that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. One becomes free from material bondage by taking such remnants. So this is the, I guess again that's the point that Chaitanya Bhagavat makes. If the pujari is seeing that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, and then when you take those remnants, then you get free from bondage. So there's two things here. What I was trying to say to you is that if you yourself are worshipping Shiva, doing puja, and you see and you accept, as we're discussing tonight, that Shiva is simply there's Sada Shiva, that he and Vishnu are one tattva, basically. And then when this Sada Shiva expands into Lord Shiva, then he becomes Shiva tattva for the purpose of dealing with the mode of ignorance in his material world, because that's an expansion of Sada Shiva. That's called Shiva tattva, and he deals with destruction of the universe. That's his service, and also controlling the mode of ignorance. That's his service. But Sada Shiva, there's no ignorance in the spiritual world. Sada Shiva is in the spiritual world. He's worshipping the form of Sankarshan. And then when he expands into Shiva in this world, then Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance and has some slight contact with the mode of ignorance. And he worships an expansion of Sankarshan known as Anantashesh. That's why he has the snakes, right? But if you see that basically they're one, it's Bhagavan expanding as his own devotee. So when you do puja and see like that that they're one, and then if someone gives you prasad, then there's no problem. You get some benefit. But if you see that they're different and you're doing puja. And the second circumstance is, if the pujari himself, if he's seeing that Lord Shiva is supreme and Vishnu is not, then you shouldn't take that prasad. That's why it said it's hard to, if you're just going in a temple and you're not doing any puja, you may say, yes, I know the tattva, I know Shiva and Vishnu are basically one. But then...
Maharaj?
Yes?
The Vaishnavas means itself that they know Shiva tattva as Sadashiva, who's a devotee of Lord.
Not necessarily. Because a lot of people think that, you know, that he's different, that he's just a demigod, even Vaishnavas.
Okay.
But Maharaj, shouldn't the pujari know that both are one?
No, that because that's what I said. I was explaining earlier that in South India, there's the whole 99% of the Shaivites who are worshipping Shiva Lingas are Shaivites, right? They believe that Shiva, and they cite the Shiva Puran, which says Shiva is supreme, but that's because their consciousness is contaminated by Tamagun, so they can't really see the ultimate reality. So that because they're in Tamagun, then there's Tamasic Puranas for them. There's six Puranas in Tamagun, six in Sattvagun, and six in Rajagun. So the Vedas are established in such a way to elevate everybody. Well, you're in Tamagun, well, then you'll read this Purana, which is also for you in Tamagun, and you'll see, yeah, this is good. Oh, you can offer wine to Lord Shiva and drink wine. Yes, I want to drink wine. And you can offer meat. I like to eat meat, but you can offer it to Lord Shiva. So then he's in Tamagun, but if he follows the Vedic injunctions, then gradually next life he'll be born in Rajagun. And then he'll worship, follow Rajasic Puranas and worship someone else. So these Shaivites that are guided by Shiva Purana and they're primarily predominated by Tamagun, they can't see the full Siddhanta. They don't have that vision and they can't accept that. They're at war with the Vaishnavas. They actually, as I mentioned earlier this evening, that the history, religious history of India, that Shaivites and Vaishnavas go to war and kill each other by the thousands in South India. A king might be a Vaishnava, and then somehow he gets, by Tantra, or somehow he gets converted to Shaivite, to become a Shaivite. Then the Shaivite guru says, look, I want you to declare that everyone in your state, because they have feudal kingdoms and states in ancient India, so everyone in your state has to become a Shaivite, or they get killed. So then the king would say, yes, this is the state religion. He would go around, and any of the Vaishnavas would migrate to other kingdoms. Or have to fight. They said, no, I'm not going to become a Shaivite. I'm not going to leave my temple. This is my temple here. And he would rally all his devotees together and they would fight and they would have wars. You're from South, you must know. And they would fight. And hundreds of people were killed. The best thing is that you go to a Shiva temple and do your own puja and you know the tattva and then you take your own remnants. You offer some para to Shiva and then you come and eat it. Like when we're in Vrindavan, we don't have any problem because the Vrindavan Vaishnavas, all the pujaris in Vrindavan are all Radha and Krishna bhaktas. So they worship Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Anam Yata Shambhu. And they offer him para and other things. And then when they give you the prasad, then you take it and you appreciate Shiva's prasad. In fact, I think we have some here. Didn't somebody bring some Shiva prasad from Gopishwar?
Yes.
So our realization of this particular class will be found out in a few hours when we take it. It'll be tangible, practical realization when we partake in the Lord's remnants. This is a very interesting topic that's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, which is a book by Sanatana Goswami. And here, in the first part of this book, there's divided into two sections. The first part of this book describes a journey, pilgrim's journey, of Narada Muni, who has a question on his mind. And his question is, he wants to ascertain which devotee of the Lord has received the most mercy of the Lord. So there's this relationship between who's received the most mercy and who's the most advanced in bhakti or devotion. There's somewhat equivalent. So he visits various devotees, and as he visits each devotee, and he heard something from, it started his journey, he went to Allahabad, and then was Kumbh Mela, and then he was asking some rishis there, and they said, oh, there's some king here doing yajnas, he's the greatest devotee, he's got the most mercy of the Lord. And then the king, he met the king, and he said, no, there's someone else in South India, he's better than me. And he glorified him. Then the king said, no, the demigods are much better than me. You go to Brahma. He's better for so many reasons. Then Brahma said, no, I'm not very good. Shiva's a much better devotee. You should go to him. And then Narada Muni said, I heard you're so good for all these reasons. And then Shiva said, no, I'm no good. You should go to Prahlad Maharaj. He's much better than me. Then he went to Prahlad Maharaj. Wife was telling him he should go to Vaikuntha, see the Vaikuntha Vasis, they're really good devotees of the Lord. And then Parvati told that to Narad, and then Shiva was a little frightened with his wife, so he whispered in Narada's ear, actually it's not the Vaikuntha Vasis, you should go see Prahlad Maharaj. So then he went to Prahlad Maharaj, and then Prahlad said, no, I'm not a very good devotee, actually, the Pandavas are better than me. And then he went to Pandavas, and they said, no, the Yadavas are better than we are. And then Yadavas said, no, Uddhava is better than we are. He's the best of the Yadavas. And then he went to Uddhava, and Uddhava said, no, I'm not really a very good devotee. The Brijavasis are better devotees. So then he came to Vrindavan, and he met the Gopas, and they said, we're not very good. Yashoda and Nanda are very good devotees. And then he went to Yashoda and Nanda, and said, no, we're not very good devotees. The Gopis are very good devotees. And the Gopis said, no, we're not very good devotees. Radharani sees a good devotee. So that, of course, is the buck stops there. That's the last stop on the subway, or whatever you call it, the tubes. Radharani is a perfectional form of pure love of Krishna. So the acharyas are saying that when Shankara tells Narada to search somewhere else for the most mercy, that Prahlad Maharaj is superior to him, then one might ask a question, why does Shiva direct Narada Muni in his search for the mercy? Why does he direct him to Prahlad Maharaj? It's because Shiva is very tricky. It says that Shiva only gives encouragement to worldly persons. But actually, if you compare the two, Prahlad Maharaj and Shiva, you'll see that Prahlad Maharaj cannot go to Vrindavan. But Shankara came to Vrindavan. Not only did he come to Vrindavan, but he stays here eternally as Krishna's digpal, protecting the Leela Stalis. But he personally entered Krishna's Leela here in the form of Gopishwar. And he continues to reside here as Gopishwar Mahadev in Linga form. And he saw the Rasa dance. Now he continues to reside here. And even the Gopis used to worship Gopishwar. And then he appears in... That was in Dwapara Yuga. Dwapara Yuga. Lord Shiva entered Krishna's pastimes in Braj, as we know very well. He's here on the altar in Gopeshwar, expansion of the main Gopeshwar. And then in Treta Yuga, he also entered the Leela of Ram. And how did he do that? How did Shiva enter the Leela of Ram in Treta Yuga? He appeared as Hanuman. Hanuman is Lord Shiva. Panchmukh Hanuman, Panchmukh Shiva. You might see sometime. You see Murtis. Brahma Bole. Let's see, how's it go? Hare Krishna. There's one song by Bhaktivinoda. Remember that song? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Brahma Bole, Chaturmukhe, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Mahadeva, Panchamukhe, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's some song like this. Panchamukhe, Brahma Bole, Chaturmukhe, Chaturmukhe, Brahma Bole, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare, something like that, Hare Hare. So it's Panchamukh Hanuman. So Shiva is entered there. Then how did they come in Kali? How did Shiva come in Kali Yuga? Also in Krishna Leela, Shiva appears as Bhima. Bhima's partial incarnation of Shiva. He's Vayu and also Shiva is there. So now in Kali Yuga they appear. Hanuman and Bhima combined together in Kali Yuga, they become Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya is actually a combination of Bhima and Hanuman, who is our Sampradaya Guru, because we are in that Sampradaya, that disciplic succession of Gurus and Acharyas coming from Lord Brahma. And the prominent modern Acharya is Madhva. So we're known as Brahma, Madhva, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. Gaudiya means the influx of Lord Chaitanya, or the input of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Sankara serves Krishna in many ways. So we should always honor him as our guru. Lord Sankara, Shiva, is 100,000 times superior to Prahlad, because he knows and meditates on Radha Krishna's Astakali Leela. And Parvati also meditates on Astakali Leela. There's no description anywhere of Prahlad Maharaj meditating on Radha Krishna's Astakali Leela. In fact, this brings us up to another point. How much this Lord Shiva is absorbed in Radha Krishna specifically is mentioned in this article here, which shows how he's relishing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he's relishing so much that he often writes about the pastimes to propagate devotion to Radha and Krishna, to increase one's attachment to Radha and Krishna. Lord Shiva has written several different songs and books. One is called Sri Yugala Kishore Ashtotara Shatanam, which means 108 names of the youthful divine couple, which we're going to chant. This is a beautiful, the 108 names of the divine couple, which is also known as Ras Sankirtan. Because right now, as you may know, it is 11:46, and this is the time of the Rasa dance. Radha and Krishna have the Rasa dance right now. So this is called Ras Sankirtan. These are 108 names of the youthful divine couple. Yugal Kishore. The technical name is Sri Yugal Kishore Ashtotara Shatanam Stotram. So that's one thing. So we have it right in front of us. So that comes from Rasolas Tantra. It was spoken by Lord Shiva. Then in Narada Pancharatra, Shiva instructed Narada Muni about Srimati Radharani. There's only 6 copies, so you have to share. Gave a little short on that one. Then, everyone, maybe you've heard of the Gopal Sahasranam. Gopal Sahasranam. What's that?
This is the Shivashtam.
Oh, I got mixed in. Oh, okay. There's six of them. How many got there?
We got six more.
So maybe many people don't know, but the thousand names of Gopal are very popular. That's also written by Lord Shiva. And then he also wrote in Rudra Yamala Tantra, he gave the thousand names of Radharani, which is also very popular. And then there's Urdhvanaya Tantra. He's spoken to Parvati Devi many things about Radha and Krishna, including the beautiful and famous prayer known as Radha Kripa Kataksha, which we'll also sing that prayer later. Then in Sanat Kumara Samhita, this is a book about the Astakali Leela, which was spoken by Shiva to Narada Muni. And Padma Purana describes Shiva is telling Narada Muni the Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna. So Lord Shiva is very much favorable to Radha and Krishna worship and pastimes. And so we're very happy to have opportunity to chant this prayer in English because it was translated by our godbrother, Dasara Sutta, from Sanskrit. And included here is the glories of Radha and Krishna's name, a meditation on their beauty, the method and purpose of recitation, their 108 names, and then the benedictions, Falshruti. So, now we can chant this also. It goes like this, I'll give you an idea. Shri Radha Krishna Devasya Namnam Ashtotaram Satam Rasa Sankirtanam Nama Shrinu Bhagavato Tama Radha Nama Sudayu, like this. Okay? Shri Radha Krishna Devasya Namnam Ashtotaram Satam Rasa Sankirtanam Nama Shrinu Bhagavato Tama Radha Nama Sudayuktam Krishna Nama Rasalayam Yapatet Pratarutaya Yadi Bi Sanabadyate Yenocharuchite Rage Radha Krishna Paradvayam Vama Dakshina Tastasya Radha Krishna Nudavati Sukena Purna Sampatim Lavate Vaishnavojana Shri Purvam Jaya Purvam Va Radha Krishnaiti Samsmaran Muchite Sarva Papebhyo Radha Krishnaiti Kirtanat Lakshanam Nam Sahasranam Phalam Apnoti Manava Radha Krishna Maha Mantram Yo Japet Bhukti Muktidam Antakale Bhavetasya Radha Krishnaiti Samsriti Radha Krishna Param Brahma Prakrite Purushatparam Dayate Yogivir Nityam Radha Krishna Mayam Jagat Radhika Madhavardam Ge Radhardam Ge Chamadava Vamadakshinata Patu Gorangi Shamasundaraha Vamange Radhika Patu Dakshinange Chamadavaha Savangam Me Sada Patam Radha Krishna Divanisham Srimad Vrindavanam Dhyayat Vaishnavo Hridaye Sada Mahapadam Yogapetam Kanchanastalam Zalanirmitam Purnachandrodayam Nityam Sarvatra Kusamanvitam Kadamba Padapachayam Kalindi Pulinottamam Sodhyana Madhavi Kunja Brahmad Brahmaravi Brahmam Kokila Dwani Sangitam Mayuradya Birnartanam Krishna Sarasamakirnam Kamadenu Sukaspadam Gopa Gopi Priyastanam Kava Pada Pashobitam Madhye Govardhanam Tatra Vichitra Mani Mandiram Ratnasamasana Saktam Pada Padmaraga Sumaruham Tanmadhye Chintayat Krishnam Kishoram Nandanandanam Bhame Tasya Priyam Radham Kishori Varshabhanavim Indranila Mani Shamam Shikanda Bada Chudakam Tata Kanchana Gorangim Chintamani Kalapinim Gunja Dama Krito Tamsam Chandanendu Bhushitam Sindura Bindusho Badhyam Kasturi Varacharitam Prafula Pundrik Kaksham Purnendu Manulananam Indivara Vishalakshim Shriyukta Kamalananam Hasya Vilokanalolam Tambula Ranjitararam Madura Smeru Sambasam Bimbada Rasudamayam Gajramoptika nasagra sparan makara kundalam nasagra vala sanmuktam kapololoka kundalam. Shivatsa kostubo raksham vanamala vibhushitam yugma shri phala yuvakriksham shanka kanchana tarinim ratna lankrita saravangam pitambara virajitam malika harakeyuram nila kosheya bhushitam mani manjira padabjam tulasi manjari priyam alakta parakamalam kuja nupararanjitam pujitam kodikandarpe paramananda mandiram lila lavanya kalyanim lila ganavinodinim jagan mohana sangitam gobi mandala manditam rasamandala madhyastam jagan mohana mohinam jatvaivam bhakti bhavena paramaradya devatam rase manche patet bhaktya namna mashtotaram shatam rasa sankirtanasyasya namna mashta shatasya cha vishirya narada goswami chando nustapa samiritam shri radha krishna devasya paramananda devata dharmavta kana mokshasyu vina yuga prakritir vita. O best of the saintly devotees of the Lord, please listen to the 108 names of our Lords, Radha and Krishna, called Ras Sankirtan.